Hi, my name is Emily Chadbourne, and welcome to Unashamedly Human, the podcast, where we explore how we can better understand our thoughts, feelings, and actions, change our results, and feel less alone as we navigate that crazy thing called life. This show is sponsored by absolutely bloody nobody because, well, no one is willing to pay me for this shit yet. But I am a huge believer in supporting other small businesses that I love and fellow entrepreneurs who, like me, are trying to make the world a better place. So if you hear me recommend or promote other coaches, products or services, please know that it's not an ad. I just want to share the love. Also, though, if you did want to sponsor me, I would completely be okay with that. So you could email me at info@emilychadbourne.com. Do Chanel sponsor podcasts? Hello and welcome to Unashamedly Human, the podcast. This is episode 22. I am your host, Emily Chadbourne, and I'm coming live to you from Bali. I'm not going to lie about it. Potentially spent a couple of minutes too long in the sun today. Crisp is the word that I would use to describe me right now. You would think that maybe by now, at the age of 38, I've worked out what sun cream is. And I actually did put some on just once, and then I sweated it all off immediately. And now I look a little bit like a lobster. So there we go. Well done, me. This is one of the reasons I'm not having children. Can't keep myself safe in the sun. And that is what we're going to talk about today on this podcast. But before we dig into it, I did just want to apologize because the last podcast that I released was 2 weeks ago. And I had kind of said that I would do my very best to churn a podcast out. Was it 2 weeks ago? Was it 3 weeks ago? Jesus, I don't understand time. Anyway, I did promise that I would do my very best to churn out one a week, but it hasn't really happened, if I'm going to be completely honest that way. Because the other promise that I made to myself was, as much as I wanted these podcasts to come out really regularly and in that kind of like rhythm, I wasn't going to do any if I didn't feel inspired or if I felt like I had to do it or if I felt rushed or if I wasn't going to enjoy the experience of it. And in all honesty, the last 3 weeks of my life have been absolutely fucking crazy. And I would have felt rushed and I wouldn't have enjoyed doing it. And you don't want to listen to something that I haven't enjoyed doing. You can just feel that energy. It's just gross. And I also feel like, who told me that I had to release one once a week? And yes, when it comes to sort of marketing and, you know, making touch points with your audience and building a following, all that fucking jazz, you are meant to be really consistent in the way that you sort of produce content. But you know what? I produce these podcasts because I want to and because I think it's valuable, not because I want you guys to fucking talk me up to your mates. I mean, feel free to do that, obviously. And I'd love it if you share, and I love it when you do share, and I really, really appreciate it. But ultimately, you know, for me, talking my truth and speaking in my vulnerability and giving people kind of a little insight into how I think and how I do life, I just really enjoy doing that, and people love receiving it. And so why wouldn't I do it from a place of pure and like loving intent, as opposed to, I've got to get one out one a week. Oh my God, what will people do if I don't release a podcast this week? Fucking nothing is the answer. Go and listen to somebody else's podcast. There's fucking thousands of them. And, you know, I think we kind of live under this sort of assumption that there is a right way to do something and a wrong way to do something. And this week, being here in Bali, and I've just been running a retreat. The retreat finished a couple of days ago, and it was just, oh my God, amazing. These women just fucking showed up ready to change, ready to put down their story, ready to move through their pain and to face their fears and to fucking heal their trauma and to own their fucking story and not let their story own them anymore. And it was absolutely, hands down, one of the most fucking incredible weeks of my life. Hands down, I am in awe of the work that these ladies did, and they have left Bali and gone back to their respective homes, different women, and it's just, yeah,
fucking unreal. Doing another one in March of 2020. If you want to know about it, let me know. info@emilychapman.com. But anyway, while I've been here and sort of doing that intense work and holding that energetic space for these women, I myself have had kind of like this like real stretch around what I'm capable of doing. You don't know what you're capable of doing until you push yourself to the limit of doing it. And fuck me, like, yeah, not to blow my own trumpet, but like, even I like found myself being like, holy fuck, can I handle this at one point? And then I could, and wow, if I could do that, what else could I do? And so as a result of some of the really intense work that has happened here in Bali this week, I've just kind of like, my brain has opened up, or the universe has spoken to me, or whatever you fucking want to call it. I've downloaded, right? That's the kind of like, I guess, spiritual term for it, but whatever. I've just like had all of these ideas and kind of like some stuff's really sort of like clicked into place for me in terms of like business and where I want to take the unashamedly human concept and how I can reach more people. And some of the conversations that I think are really important for people to hear. And as a result, I've got like a fucking book full of podcast topics. And I was like, okay, well, you know, one a week. That will... And I was like, why am I releasing these one a week? Like, why can't I just release them when they're done and when I think they're awesome and when I think they are going to be received? Like, I don't have to release one once a week. I can release three a week if I want to. And then the next week, I cannot release any. Because do you know what? I'm a fucking big girl. Can't fucking not burn herself in the sun, but can decide when she releases her podcast episodes. And I think so much of life and so much feeling stuck in life, or feeling like we haven't done enough in life, or feel like we're not far enough along, or like we're comparing ourselves to other people, is because we sit under these paradigms of should. We should release a podcast once a week because that's what everyone else does. Why do I have to do what everyone else does? Why the fuck do I have to do what everybody else does? Now, sometimes it's really fucking clever to do what other people do, and there's a reason that other people are doing it that way, and you probably should follow suit. But a lot of the time, I just think, actually, you fucking sing your own song, man. Like, make up your own rules. Design your own life. Don't just go with the flow. Don't just, like, follow along like a fucking sheep when it's not making you happy, or when you could be doing it another way that fits into your lifestyle and your desired dream and the kind of like human that you want to be. And as long as you're not causing anybody any direct harm or coming from a place of being really malicious, fucking you do you, man. So that's what I kind of want to talk about today. That's where I want to start off this particular episode, episode 22. Haven't decided what it's going to be called yet. So for now, we'll just call it episode 22. But by the time you listen to it, we'll have a name. But episode 21, which was all about like me being in a really committed relationship with myself and how that translates to being in a committed relationship with somebody else, I just mentioned that I have a different set of conditions on my relationship because I have chosen not to have children. And lots of people jumped on that and they were like, can you tell us more about your decision not to have children? My answer to that is yes, absolutely. Of course I can. I actually wrote a blog called No, You Can't Have It All, or something like that. I can't remember the title of it. Should know because I literally just read it. And I've got to say, it's pretty fucking good, man. As always, whenever I am talking, I can convey way more context and a little bit more depth and definitely a bit more emotion around it. So the blog is written in my typical Emily fashion. It's funny and it's quirky, but I'd really like to open up a deeper discussion around the decision around not having children for me, but more than that, about how to make a healthy decision about some of the bigger things in life and how to make that decision and then feel okay about it. And the answer might not be what you think it is going to be. So, buckle up, here we go. Now, before we really get into this, let me say this. I'm talking about my decision not to have children. I'm not saying that I don't think that anyone else should have children. I'm not criticizing other people's life choices. I'm not making other people's life choices irrelevant. I'm very aware, and I'll pick up this thread a bit later on, really aware that for a lot of women out there, they are struggling to conceive or they can't conceive. I completely get it. I'm just going to talk about how I have made this massive decision. And in doing so, I trust that you will be able to pull out little bits of mindset, the way I think, how I go about dealing with some of the grief around making this decision, because of course there is some, I'm a fucking human, so that you can be more comfortable and more confident in the decision-making process that you have in your life, in whatever area of life that is. Maybe you've made the decision not to go back to work after having children, and you might need a little bit of help around really being okay with that. Maybe you have made the decision to move away from your home country and you're going to go and live in a completely different area of the world, and you're feeling a bit guilty about it and you're feeling a bit torn about it. This episode is going to help you out. So this isn't just for people who do or don't want children. The topic of children is almost irrelevant. It's like, how do you make those big decisions and be fucking okay with it? Because we are born into a world where we're told we can have it all and we should have it all. And the reality of the situation is that's not fucking true. And in the belief that we should have it all, what we're trying to do is do it all and be it all. And that's a very different thing. I have been born into a world where, thank God, my grandmothers and my great-grandmothers and the women before them have fought to give me the right to be able to decide what I do with my life. That doesn't mean I have to be the CEO and a good wife and an elite sportswoman and travel the world and be a mother. Because if I tried to be all those things, I wouldn't do any of them well. And so all I'm saying in this debate is, not even a debate, all I'm saying in this conversation, and please let's make it this a conversation, please feedback to me, let me know, put your comments in the box, email me, info@emilychadbourne.com, share this episode if you think it'd be relevant for people in your network. But all I'm saying is let's have a conversation about, well, actually, instead of trying to do it all, how about I take up my right to have it all by choosing what is going to be best for me, and then embracing that and being okay with what I will inevitably have to sacrifice in order to choose this route, in order to go with this dream, in order to build this life. Because by not having children, I know what I'm sacrificing. I'm acutely fucking aware of what I am giving up by not having children. But I do not buy into this idea that I can have it all and be happy. I think if I tried to have it all, I'd just be a stressed out, fucking wrung out mess. Anyway, I'm going off on a bit of a tangent now. So let me bring it back to the first point I want to make, which was that I always thought I would have children. You know, I was born in 1981 and I saw my mum raise three girls and all my friends' mums were the sort of either the stay-at-home mum or the primary carer. And if they did have jobs, then they were probably part-time jobs, or like my mum worked full-time. But, you know, that was a struggle. And I saw her struggle in trying to get everything done and maintain the household. And, you know, that's not because my dad was a lazy fuck. My dad's a legend, knows how to fucking hoover, that man, blimey. But, and he was, you know, the fixer of the household, DIY man, and worked full-time and provided for the family. But that was kind of just the way that things were in the 1980s. You know, there was still this paradigm that women had children and then were the primary carer. And that is shifting, I think, more and more, although I do believe that the government and pay equality and the entire foundation of the workforce needs to shift dramatically for real equality to come in and for women to genuinely have the option as to whether or not they are the primary carer or they do stay at home or whether they go to work. I think there's a lot of work that needs to be done there, but that's not the point of this podcast. I acknowledge it. That's not the point of this podcast. So yeah, so I was born in the 1980s and I was born into this paradigm where it was almost predetermined. You're a girl, you're gonna have kids. Because everyone around you who is a woman is having children, and So I never questioned it. I never for a second thought that I would do anything other than at one point in my life be a mum. And then I went through the system, you know, I went to school and I got decent grades and I went to university and I travelled and I spent my 20s living in London. And then my 30s hit and my entire life kind of crumbled. I lived the very early stages of my 30s up until about 34, trying really hard to be happy, but I was using other people's metric of what happiness was, and it wasn't mine, and I didn't know that. It took me a really long time to work out that the reason that I wasn't happy was because I was trying to make myself happy based on what somebody else thought would make me happy, not what I thought would make me happy. And by that time, I'd kind of lost myself so much in what I should be and what other people were doing that I didn't even really know what was going to make me happy either. And it wasn't until I really hit my mid-30s that I began to ask myself, well, what if I just do things my way instead of the way that I've been taught to do them? I've never been particularly rebellious, and I would never consider myself to be a rebel. I mean, I would love it. I'd love it. Rebel Emily would be awesome, but I'm just not. I've really always towed the line. And so this wasn't like a big, fuck you, I do what I want. That's not what I'm talking about. I just suddenly I started asking myself, well, what does make me happy? What if I stopped believing that I had to have a mortgage to be financially safe? And what if I stopped believing that my value is dependent on whether or not I'm in a relationship? And what if I chose to look at the world in a slightly different way and make up slightly different rules for myself? That shift in paradigm, a bit like, you know, fuck, I'll release however many podcasts a week that I feel inspired to release. I record as many podcasts when I want to record them, when I feel called to do so, when it feels good, when I'm in flow, when I've got something to say, when I think I can serve. And I'll release those podcasts when I'm bloody well good and ready, not every single Thursday of every single week, because somebody else told me that that's what I should do. You know, this was a bit the same, really, of just like this dawning realization of like, hang on a minute, why can't I make up my own rules about when I work and how I work and how much money I earn? Why can't I make up my own rules about my own self-worth? Why am I depending on other people's validation of me to be happy? Because actually, it's not making me happy. In fact, it's doing the fucking opposite of that. It's making me really fucking unhappy because I'm working to a metric that's not my own. That was when I really started asking myself, okay, if I'm going to design my life, if I'm going to take a step back and like go back to the drawing board and genuinely ask myself, what makes me happy? What brings me joy? And what doesn't bring me joy, which is an equally important question. What doesn't make me happy? Where do I feel constricted? Where do I feel stuck? And where do I feel stagnant? Where do I feel suffocated? And what are the circumstances around that? What am I thinking? Who am I attracting? What is the belief system behind that? What do I need to change in order to change that? And when I really went back to basics and I started thinking, okay, what is going to make me happy? Because up until about 33, 34, I had this kind of like real like, oh my God, oh, hang on, if I've got to have children and the, hang on a minute, if I've got to have children and oh, I've got to get a mortgage and oh, I should have a boyfriend by now and oh, look, everyone else is doing it this way. Oh, it felt fucking gross. Fuck, man, no wonder I was hitting the bottle so hard. Oh, what a way to live. And the moment that I stepped back from that and went, hang on a minute, what? How about how I want to live? How about I start asking me? This wasn't because other people were enforcing this on me. This wasn't because other people were terrible. It's not because other people were saying it to me. It was the voice that was going on in my own head. And so I stopped and I sort of said, okay, well, let's have a different conversation with myself. What is going to make me happy? And the moment I sort of started asking myself that question, my entire fucking life changed. Like, not overnight, I'm not going to lie about it. It's taken a fuck ton of work and it will continue to take a fuck ton of work. And I will always be in this conversation with myself. I will always be in personal development. I will always have a coach. I will always have mentorship. I will always, always, always be deconstructing and reconstructing myself. But that only started 3-4 years ago. And it was just a pivotal moment in my life. And I always now, I'm constantly checking in with myself in silence, in meditation, in contemplation, in journaling. What do I want? Not what has my conditioning, my family, my religion, my social conditioning told me I should have or told me I should want. And, you know, if you are facing any kind of life choice where other people's opinions are really loud, so, you know, maybe you're at the end of your law degree and you've just realised that it doesn't make you happy, but you don't want to tell your dad that because your dad's a lawyer and his dad was a lawyer and his dad was a lawyer and his father before him fucking wrote the Constitution or something, but whatevs. Now you're here and you're like, actually, what I really want to do is go and teach street art to children in Africa. Then fucking go and do it. Because you cannot live your life for other people. It won't make you happy. And other people need to learn that only they can make themselves happy. You know, you cannot be responsible for other people's happiness. It's too much. It's too heavy. And you yourself then won't be happy. That's no fucking way to live, man. Fuck that noise. Nah. And so, you know, step outside of your paradigm. Is this really what I want for myself? Or is it what I think I should want for myself because that's the way that I have been brought up, that's the way that I've been conditioned, that's what I see other people do and achieve and have, and I have a perception or I interpret that they are happy. Because you know what? I know a lot of people with kids who aren't happy, but they had them anyway. So, you know, and I know a lot of people who've had kids who are so fucking happy with that decision, but I know a lot of people who've had children who are not happy with that decision. So ask yourself, like, is this what I really want, or am I operating under a paradigm which is falsely telling me this is what I should want? Because they're massively different things. The next thing, the next sort of step in my, understanding or conclusion that I came to around choosing not to have children was that I really fucking weighed up what I want to achieve from this life. And literally, like, a list of pros and cons. And obviously, in the pro list, I suppose there would be that, you know, I could give my cousin, my niece's cousins, and I could make my sister's aunties again. And, you know, I'd be able to give, my mum was still alive at this time, I'd be able to give my mum and dad more grandchildren, and that would make my mum happy. But the moment that somebody else's happiness, unless it's actually your own children, unless somebody else's happiness is on that list, you fucking question that, man. You've got to question if you're putting other people's happiness above yourselves. Really hard. Because that's no way to live and it never fucking ends well, believe me. So, you know, a real pros and cons list. And some of the pros that I had were, you know, things that I still grieve today. You know, like seeing giving birth. You know, that's also a con because I don't know really how much you know about what happens to the female anatomy when it gives birth, but it's pretty fucking big, man. You know, everything has a negative and a positive, right? So for every pro has a con and every con has a pro, if that makes sense. But I was really, what's the word? Litigious? That's not a word. And if it is, I don't really know what it means. So I'm going to use a different word. I was really detailed about that pros and cons list. You know, how much do I want to be able to go traveling outside of school holidays and fly first class? And, you know, is it worth the sacrifice, basically, of not having children? And is having children worth the sacrifice of, you know, not being able to fly first class and having this freedom and being able to really, really, like, 110% go for my business and reach as many people as I can with my coaching? You know, for me to have a baby, that takes a year out of my life. And look, maybe other women are doing it differently and rock on, but I'm not going to convince myself that I can just pop out a baby and 3 minutes later be back in front of the camera and, you know, whatever. Like, it's completely different. And, you know, I know women who've had children and it's propelled their career forward. That's awesome, rock on. But I'm very aware of who I am and how I operate, and I've got to stop hitting my leg on this table. I'm a very selfish person, and I think a lot of people are very selfish people. I just think they have children anyway. I'm a really selfish person. There's a light and a dark side to that. And I'm trying more and more, the older I get, to be resourcefully selfish and not unresourcefully selfish. It means I have really strict boundaries, which means I can be full of love and compassion for the people around me, because I very, very rarely do I feel resentful to other people, because I have really fucking steel-like boundaries in my life around what is acceptable and what's not acceptable. I'm selfish because I really love spending a lot of time doing the things that I love, reading books, playing with my puppy, running, exercising, hanging out with my mates, and that resourceful selfishness leads me to outsource a lot in my business, which means that my business is scalable and growable. It also means that I get to employ other people and put back into the economy in a really resourceful way. So there's loads and loads of really awesome bits about my selfishness. There's also some really unresourceful bits about my selfishness, which I keep in check as much as I possibly can, and I ensure that I am being can't think of it, never mind, doesn't matter, I'll move on. Anyway, I'm inherently a very selfish person, and I don't want to sacrifice certain things in my life that would mean I would have to if children came along. So I think being realistic about, and genuinely realistic about, that kind of monumentous decision, and really weighing up the positive and the negative, and taking the positives and finding the negatives, and taking the negatives and finding the positives, because, you know, there is no absolute. There's always light and dark, there's always good and bad, there's always negative and positive to absolutely everything, every emotion, every thought, every experience. The world exists, there is universal law, the law of polarity, and everything has its opposite. So I'm very aware that what I'm gaining by not having children, on the flip of that, I'm also giving up a whole fucking heap of stuff. And this brings me to my next point, which is I'm allowed to grieve for the choices that I make and the consequence of those choices. So I'll tell you a little story to explain this. I was at a like special meditation thing that started at 3:20 in the morning with my Kundalini yoga studio. This is a while back, maybe earlier on this year, 2019. And I previously, the week before, been speaking to my coach, and we've been really uncovering this idea of polarity in emotion, and how whatever I am feeling at any given time is okay. The resistance to that feeling is often what causes me the pain. So quite often I will try and justify myself to avoid feeling sad, or to avoid feeling angry, or to avoid feeling frustrated. I'll try and positive psychology my way out of it, right? Well, look on the light, bright side, you know, look for the lesson. And that's the very fucking forefront of a lot of personal development, is this idea of positive psychology. Look for the good, look for the lesson, use gratitude, reframe. And it works, and it's awesome, and I implement it in my own life a lot of the time. But when it gets dangerous is when you start denying yourself feelings that you interpret or assume are going to be hard, or that you want to avoid. So things like grief and anger and resentment and frustration, these are all normal parts of being a human being. And quite often the resistance to having those feelings is where we experience pain, and where we feel depleted in energy, and where it just feels fucking exhausting to be alive. Do you know what I mean? We all know what that feels like, right? And so I've been having this talk with my coach, and it come up in a couple of sessions, and I've been really actively and consciously practicing through meditation and just through bringing conscious awareness of it in my day-to-day life, not resisting feelings, but really embracing them and like facing them and allowing them to transmute through me, as opposed to blocking them, so that I could experience more and more and more the full spectrum of human emotion. And the moment that I am willing to face and experience some of the harder emotions, or the grosser emotions, or just the emotions that we don't get taught how to feel or get told we shouldn't feel, or, you know, other people are like, oh, please don't be sad. Oh, I hate it when you're sad. My mum used to say that to me all the time. Oh, I hate it when you're sad. Sadness is a completely fucking valid emotion, man. And I was just taught never to have it. I was taught that it made other people unhappy, so I shouldn't be in that state ever. I shouldn't be sad. And the reality is I'm allowed to be sad sometimes. When sad shit happens, I'm allowed to be fucking sad. But while I'm negating sadness, while I'm putting a wall up between me and sadness, I'm also putting a wall up against its opposite, because everything has its polarity. So the opposite of sadness is happiness. And so I would never allow myself to feel those extreme feelings of happiness that was always kind of sedated, because you can only go as far one way as you go the other way. Anyway, so I'm playing around with this idea, and it's come up in a couple of coaching sessions with my coach. And, you know, I'd really become consciously aware that I would have to sort of justify my emotion all the time to myself and positive psychology my way into good emotion, or emotion that I thought I was allowed to have, or emotion that I thought made other people feel comfortable. And, you know, that was just fucking exhausting. And I'm in this Kundalini meditation, and it's a 3.5 hour meditation. It starts, like I said, at like 3 a.m. or 3:20 or something like that time. Anyway, I'm in the room, and it's a really deeply spiritual practice, and I'd never really experienced anything like this before. And I'm all like fucking zenned out and, you know, loving it. Like filling my hippie cup, like hardcore. Someone burnt some sage. I mean, you can't not love it, can ya? Get your sage out and I'm in. Anyway, towards the end, as the sun was rising, obviously and poetically, this woman comes in and she's holding this baby, this tiny little baby, real fresh. And she walks in, and she herself is like the personification of beauty and grace. And she just, you can feel her maternal energy, like, and fucking orb around her. And she comes in and she sits down and she puts this tiny little baby on a sheepskin rug. And the baby just looked like a fucking piece of poetry or something. It was like, oh, there wasn't a light shining down from the heavens on the baby, but there kind of should have been. And in my head, maybe there was a little bit. And this baby turns and looks at me. And I look at the baby and I'm like, cute kid. In my head, I'm like, that's sweet. And then all of a sudden, I have this like overwhelming feeling of grief, this overwhelming feeling of sadness, of just like, I am never going to know what it feels like to be a mum and have that love. I'm never going to know what that feels like. And instantly my brain went into defense mechanism. It went into, okay, how can I not have this hard feeling of grief? Right, we need to justify the decision that we have made. And so all of a sudden in my brain, I'm like fucking like turn into this like frenzied Tasmanian devil beast in my brain. I'm like, no, it's okay, because we want to travel the world, and I want to fly first class, and I want to have nice things, and I want to have white sofas, and I want to be able to do what I want whenever I want, and I want to build my business. And, you know, I just immediately started justifying it to myself. And then because of all this work I'd done with my coach, I was just like, hang on a minute. I like caught myself doing it, and I was like, no, take a fucking step back here and breathe them. You're allowed to be sad. You are allowed to grieve the reality that you have chosen not to have. In fact, it's fucking important, because if I can grieve it, I can then, when I come out of the grief, either change my mind, because that's my prerogative and I still stand by that. I'm only 38 years old. I've still got time to have children. And if I wake up tomorrow morning and my ovaries are like, bitch, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to have a baby. You know why? Because I'm a grown up and I can do what the fuck I want. Assuming that I'm biologically capable of doing such a thing. And I know not all women are. And I'm coming onto that in a minute. But the moment I came out of that grief, and I just sat there in that meditation room and I wept. I mean, like, just silently, just tears streamed down my face. I'm about to sing Coldplay at you. Tears stream down your face. Stop it, Emily. So here I am, and I'm like in full grief for this part of my life, which I will never have, of my own decision, of my own choice. And after that grief, I checked back in with myself and I was like, okay, so how are we feeling about not having children now? And I was like, I still don't want to have children. And because I allowed myself to have that grief, and I've had it a few times since then. Really recently, a really dear friend of mine had a little baby boy, and I've got another friend who's due in a couple of weeks. And every time I look at that newborn, and I'm like, oh, I'm not gonna know that. I'm not gonna have that. And I'm allowed to be sad about it. And in fact, I think it's important that I'm sad about it, because it means that I feel even more certain in my decision. And if ever I change my mind, then I change my mind. And if I change my mind and I can, I'm past the age where I can have my own biological children, either naturally or aided through, you know, IVF or something, then that will be the consequence. I will never live in the regret of it. I'll either adopt or I'll foster, or I will just make peace with my decision and know that at the time I made the right decision for me, and I will always have a fucking fantastic life. And so I will never live in the regret of it. I can acknowledge the grief around not choosing this life of motherhood. And I think it's important I allow myself to have that grief, but I will never regret anything, because I will always, 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 always make sure that I engineer and construct and create and design a fucking fantastic life for myself. I cannot imagine a possibility where I wake up at the age of 50 and I'm angry that I didn't have children. I think I'll wake up at the age of 50 and be like, fucking look at what I've got. Look at my massive mansion house, and look at my, you know, team of people that I've brought together to create this unashamedly human message and to touch women's lives and to help women stand in their truth and their power and shift their old fucking stories and heal their trauma. That's what I think I'm going to be doing when I'm 50. And so I live by that. 100%, I back myself 100% in the decision that I make. And so when people ask me about my decision not to have children, there's no uncertainty in it. I'm not open to your opinion I'm always open to anyone's opinion. You can have your opinion, you will have your opinion, whether you voice it or not is irrelevant. You'll always have your opinion of me. But what I will not allow is your opinion to persuade me to make a different decision. I will always stand by my truth, as much as I know my truth today. And like I said, I absolutely give myself permission to change my mind, because I'm a human being and I'm allowed to do that. So I would, you know, again, invite you to think about being really open and okay with feelings around what you are giving up or what you're, you know. I'll give you another example of this. I choose to live in Australia and my family are all in England, and I'm allowed to be sad on special occasions or when my sisters meet up together. I would never say to myself, well, you chose this life, Emily. You chose to live in Australia, so you're not allowed to be sad that your sisters are going to see the Spice Girls and you're not there. Of course I'm fucking sad. Of course I'm annoyed that I'm not there. Of course I'm jealous that, you know, they've gone to see the Spice Girls together and I'm not standing next to them. And if I was living in London, I would be standing next to them, but I'm not. I'm living in Australia. I'm still allowed to be sad about it, because I'm a human fucking being. And to deny that sadness, to deny that jealousy, is to pretend that I'm someone I'm not. And to, like, spend so much time and energy pretending to be someone I'm not. Man, that energy that I could invest in just making my life awesome and just, like, reaching out to my sisters and WhatsApping them while they're at the Spice Girls and being like, I'm so fucking jealous! I miss you girls! Like, God, rather than like, no, I'm not jealous, it's fine. I chose to be in Australia. Fuck it, man. I'm jealous. You sing the Spice Girls without me. Sad face. Totally allowed. And I don't think we give ourselves enough credit to be the negative part of us, or the sad part of us, or the hard part of us, or the resentful part of us. Like, it's cool being fucking human, man. Unashamedly human. Fucking embrace it. Your life will change. I do just feel the need very quickly to put a little note on that. If you're always resentful, if you're always jealous, if you're always angry, different fucking story, man. But if you are, if you can build the skill, and it is a skill, and anyone can learn a skill, the skill of accepting an emotional state and then transcending through it quickly by acknowledging it, by hearing it, by feeling it, by understanding it, by loving it, by allowing it to tell you what it's here to tell you, and by not denying who you truly are because you want to be the person that you think other people think you should be, then, yeah, absolutely, unashamedly human. Be all of the feels. Don't deny the feels. But if you're in a habit of feeling a certain way all the time, you need to do the work to heal the trauma that created that mental strategy for you that means that you're always jealous or you're always angry, you're always resentful, you're always regretful, because that's just a strategy that has been really useful in a certain situation in your life, probably to protect you from pain or some traumatic event, and then it's just become a habit and now you're in the loop of it. But it is breakable for sure. I saw it happen this week in Bali. The last thing that I just want to say really quickly, because I've just seen that I've been speaking for like ever, is I often get asked, and please refer to the blog for the top 10 things that people say to me when I tell them that I'm childless by choice. One of the things that I just wanted to bring into this conversation is when people say to me, oh, don't you feel guilty about the people that can't have children? And my answer is no, because I feel like that is a waste of an emotion. I don't feel guilty at all. No, that's not true. Actually, sometimes I have in the past felt guilty. I have in the past had conversations with friends who are desperately trying to get pregnant. And I think to myself, it's unfair. It's unfair that you want so desperately to have children and I can and I'm choosing not to. That's unfair. And the world is unfair and the world does suck. And sometimes it doesn't make sense. But I cannot do or change the way that I want to live my life to placate other people or to make other people happy or to justify anything or to try and regain the balance of fairness in an unfair world. That's not how it works, because me having a kid is not going to take away the pain or the suffering or the anger or the grief of another woman who can't have children. It's not going to make it better for her. I'm not going to heal her. I'm not going to make her any different. Her life isn't going to change if I have children. My life will, in a way that I don't really want it to. And so, don't you think it's unfair? Yeah, I think it's unfair. But I would think it would be even more unfair for me to have children because life is unfair. So that is where I've landed in terms of my decision not to have children. You know, I stepped back from the paradigm that I should have children or the assumption that I would have children. And I really just started asking myself what would actually genuinely make me happy. The second step then was I really, really hammered out the pros and cons of that. How do I want to live my life? Where do my values sit? What do I really want for myself? What do I want to create? How do I want to live? What would my ideal day look like? And really when I tapped into where do I see myself in my late 40s or my early 50s, I didn't see it with children in my life. I saw that with this sort of empire and helping women and flying around the world and creating this sort of unashamedly human movement. That's what I saw. I didn't see me doing a school run or picking up the kids or worrying about the PTA meeting. That's just, when I imagine that, I feel constricted and I feel contracted. You know, I went further than just the feeling, and I really did. I logicked it. What's the pros here? What are the cons here? What are the pros of the cons? What are the cons of the pros? And then that third step, which I think is really important when you are making these sort of big decisions in life about how you want to be and what you want to create for yourself, was grieving for what's not going to be. and allowing yourself, not justifying it, not overly justifying it, but just acknowledging, you know, I'm never going to know what it feels like to be a mum. I'm never going to have that experience of growing a baby in my womb. And I get to be sad about that. Doesn't mean that I want to have it, but I get to be sad that I won't. Reserving my right, as I always do, to change my fucking mind. And then that last piece that I just wanted to pop in there is, you know, you cannot make decisions in your own life based on what's going on for other people in their life. You know, the world is not a fair place and it doesn't make sense and it does seem cruel at times, but you can't right that wrong by overcompensating if it's going to compromise your own happiness and your own dreams. You can't stay in the shadows of your own life. You have to be the fucking spotlight. And you have to follow what feels right for you. And you have to back that up with some genuine considered thought and some acknowledgement of what it means. And then you forge forward and you make it your motherfucking business to create a fucking epic life for yourself, full of love and connection and contribution and abundance. And if you're doing that, then you'll never live in regret. If you can wake up every morning and feel like you have fucking shown up for yourself, not for your mum, not for your sister, not because your mate down the road couldn't have kids. If you wake up every morning and fucking show up for you, you will not be able to do anything other than show up for other people. You will not be able to do anything but demonstrate what it is to be strong and powerful and vulnerable and good and fucking owning your shit. That, fuck man, that's my responsibility as a woman. My responsibility as a woman isn't to fucking procreate. My responsibility as a woman is to show other women that they can do fucking anything if they just are willing. So, I trust that that has served. I trust that someone out there really needed to hear that. I know for a lot of people, most of the women I know want to have children. I think a lot of women just have children because they feel like they should have children. And then it's a big fucking massive surprise when it really happens. And this huge shift in their identity that they weren't ready for. I'm not criticizing other people in any way, shape or form. But I do think that a lot of people rush into the decision of having children without really considering it or being ready for it mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, financially. I think it should be really considered. But, you know, I know a lot of women who just absolutely thrive in motherhood, and that's beautiful to watch as well. So, like, whether or not you choose to have children or not, or whether you have children or not, it's irrelevant, this conversation is about whether I'm having children or not, but more than that, it's about having a framework to be able to make a decision with how you live your one precious incarnation and do it without fear of disappointing other people and do it without fear of regret and doing it from a place of like really fucking knowing yourself. Because then, fuck man, life is just full and vibrant and exciting and thrilling and petrifying all at the same time. So I trust that has helped. Feel like I'm waffling now, so I'm gonna wrap it up. Also been talking for like almost an hour. So thank you very much for listening. If you know somebody who could do with hearing this podcast, do me a solid favor, share it with them. Please go to iTunes and rate and review this podcast. It really helps other people find this content. Use the hashtag unashamedlyhuman on social media. If you've loved it, just burped. Not even going to edit that out. It just happened. If you love this, share it on social media. You can tag me on Insta, Emily_thatcrazythingcalledlife. Make sure you've joined my free Facebook group, That Crazy Thing Called Life. I do heaps and heaps and heaps of lives in that group. Hashtag little life lessons. All right, lovely people, you're a bunch of bloody legends. Keep being unashamedly human. Keep rocking up for yourself. Keep digging deep. I fucking believe in you.
If you're anything like me, your first thought in the morning is often one of, oh, holy fuck. We wake up instantly feeling like we're in lack. Not enough sleep, not enough time, not enough. We scroll through social media and feel not enough. We think about our day ahead and feel underprepared, uninspired, or overwhelmed. What if we're not enough? Before we're even out of bed, our mind is telling us all sorts of crazy stories, and these stories set the precedent for our day and have a huge effect on our results. Imagine if you could start your day with a different thought. Imagine waking up to a daily reminder of the greatness that lies within you. Imagine having your own personal and funny cheerleader inspiring you every single day. Imagine your first waking thought being one of abundance and purpose. Well, imagine no longer, my friend, because now you can wake up with M. Wake Up with M is a text message service for women who are ready to wake up to their power, purpose, and passion. A daily motivational message from me personally to get you smiling into your day and vibing high from the moment you wake up, and all for less than the price of a couple of lattes a month. And even better, you get the first month completely for free. Because, well, you know, you might actually find it really annoying to have a daily reminder that you're amazing and capable and awesome. Head to emilychadbourne.com/wakeup or check out the link in the show notes below.